This evening, as we begin our series on Christian prayer, we'll be looking at Lord's Day 45, page 893 in the back of our Psalter hymnals. And tonight we'll be focusing on the first question and answer of that Lord's Day, question and answer 116. So page 893, Lord's Day 49, question and answer 116. I'll read this question and we can respond together with the answer. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually, with heartfelt longing, ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. And our passage this evening is Psalm 116, and I noticed the irony there of question answer 116, and now we're looking at Psalm 116. We're looking at verses 1 through 19 of 116, Psalm 116. Before we turn our attention to God's word this evening, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now turn to your word, we ask that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 116, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God's holy word. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all mankind are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the court of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, what good is prayer? I mean, does prayer change anything? What effect does it have for me? What if I didn't pray at all? Would anything be different? What do I get out of prayer? These are the questions asked about Christian prayer. And as believers, we know that we're supposed to pray, but why? Now, since prayer is talking to God, why don't people pray more? Why don't the people of God enjoy prayer more? One answer is possibly because we just don't feel like it. And the reason we don't feel like it is because when we do pray, it just feels like we're saying the same thing over and over again. Or like it doesn't change anything, or it doesn't accomplish anything. Here in Psalm 116, we have an example of a prayer. And it's one of the most personal of all the Psalms of Thanksgiving. As we read through this Psalm, there is a relationship. There is an intimacy between God and the writer of this Psalm that you don't have in the same way in other Psalms. There's a close connection that we see here. The Psalm brings to expression the thoughts and the feelings of someone who's been in deep trouble, who's faced death, who's cried out to the Lord and has experienced firsthand what it means to be delivered, what it means to be saved, what it means to be restored. Mark Furtado explains that in this psalm, tender thoughts and feelings flow from the heart of the psalmist to the Lord in response to the Lord's goodness to the psalmist. And so we look at Psalm 116 as we answer the question, why do we pray? We pray because we are remembering who God is and what he's done. And we're also responding to him in love and responding to him in praise. And those will be our it depends on how you look at it. Either 2 points if we're remembering who he is and what he's done, or it could also be 4 points. Let's say 2 points with 2 subpoints each. Remembering who God is and what he's done, first of all. Remembering God's goodness. Giving thanks to God at times means remembering the difficult things that we've been through in the past. Remembering, looking back to the experiences that we've lived through. Look at how this is expressed in Psalm 116. Verse 3, he's remembering that the snares of death, the cords, the ropes of death entangled me, were wrapped around me, encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. So this is the situation that the psalmist was in. Now if I were to ask you the question of what's the difference between a psalm of thanksgiving and a psalm of lament, this is a psalm of thanksgiving. He's looking back to his suffering that he's been delivered from. So he's on this side of his suffering, looking back, saying, thank you, Lord, for getting me out of that. A psalm of lament is what Job has been crying throughout the book. He's in the suffering and crying out in lament, hoping to be delivered from his suffering someday. So here in this psalm, the psalmist is looking back and saying, thank you, Lord, but we're given a picture of what he went through. You have the cords of death, the snares of death being wrapped around him. Now, in Old Testament poetry, like we have in the Psalms here, death and Sheol are aggressive, clutching at the living. Death is and Sheol and the grave are almost pictured as attacking and aggressively trying to grab hold of people and pull them down. His life has become like a living hell. Death is chasing him down, pursuing him, wrapping cords around him and holding on to him. He's living through sorrow, distress, anguish, facing death itself. Now maybe some of you can relate to what the psalmist is going through here. The difficulty that he's gone through. The weight of death, the heaviness, the crushingness of sorrow, of grief, of anguish, of distress. Maybe you've been through something similar. Verse 8 talks about death and tears and stumbling. Verse 10 and 11 talks about being greatly afflicted and thinking that all mankind are liars. People are deceiving him. Verse 15, he's talking about the death of God's saints. This is the difficulty that this psalmist has gone through. This is what he's endured. And this is the foundation. As he looks back on what was he was entangled him, what was he was enslaved to, as he looks back on that, that's his reason for thanking the Lord. For setting him free from that misery. For saving him. What's refreshing about the Psalms specifically, as we look at the Psalms, is that the Psalms often put into words the emotions that we're feeling, what we're going through, but they do so in a way that's they often state it stronger than we would be comfortable saying it. They often state it better than we would say it. We might be going through a busy or a stressful week. Maybe if we've had close friends or even family members lie to us, and like verse 11, feel like all mankind are liars. Maybe our name was attacked or slandered in person or online. We might be frightened or fighting with and wrestling with the darkness of depression or other emotions, or living with sorrow or in grief and feeling the distress and the anguish crushing down on us. Maybe someone we love is facing death or health concerns. And we find ourselves thinking about death more often than not, and it feels like it's got its snares wrapped around us and it's pulling us down. Now, we might not say it as strongly as Psalm 116, but it's what we're feeling. Entangled by death, overcome by distress and anguish and sorrow. It's all I think about during the day, and then it's what I think about when I can't sleep at night. Death and tears and stumbling, everyone's a liar. And where do we turn in moments like this? Where do we turn in moments of suffering? Here are the examples that we're given, is turning to the Lord, calling on the name of the Lord, praying to the Lord. Verse 4, then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. O Lord, save me. Why do Christians need to pray? Well, because prayer is the most important part of the thanksgiving God requires of us, question answer 116 tells us. Thanksgiving moves from not only remembering the tough times and the trouble that we faced, but it's also remembering that God is the one who brought us through. He's delivered us, not only from the suffering in the moment, but the greater suffering of sin that we've been rescued from, saved from in Jesus Christ. In the face of all this danger and trouble, the only place to turn is to the Lord. And we call on the name of the Lord. We pray, Lord, deliver my soul. Lord, save me. Turning to the Lord in prayer. And as we look at 116, we're not specifically focused on Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 17, but I want to point out how this psalm also gives us an example of how to pray. Question answer 117 asks the question, how does God want us to pray so that he'll listen to us? And the first part of the answer is that we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God. Well, who is the psalmist praying to? I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He's calling on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. So there you have an example of how to pray to no one else but God, the God who's revealed himself in his word. Second, we must fully recognize our own need and misery, humbling ourselves in God's majestic presence. Well, he's recognizing his misery and his need. Oh, Lord, save me. Cords of death are entangling me. I'm suffering. I'm in distress. I'm in anguish. And then third, we need to rest on the unshakable foundation, the fact, the truth, that even though we don't deserve it, God is going to listen to our prayer because of Jesus Christ. This is what he's promised us in his word. And the psalmist here is confidently saying, I love the Lord. Why? Because he has heard my voice, my pleas for mercy. He's heard me. He's listened to my prayer. And people of God, we need to keep that in mind. That is a foundation, a promise, a truth that we can rest on. That even though we don't deserve it, God listens to us when we pray because of Jesus Christ. He's promised us this in his word. Calvin says it even stronger. Here's what John Calvin says. He says, God can no more divest himself of his attributes, or his attribute of hearing prayer, than of being. I'll read that one more time. God can no more divest himself of his attribute of hearing prayer than of being. Now, what is Calvin saying there? He's saying you can know for sure that God hears your prayers because God can't stop hearing your prayers any more than he can stop being God. It's part of who he is. You know for sure that God hears you when you pray. I love the Lord. Why? Because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. This psalm reaches its pinnacle, its climax, as the psalmist remembers how God is the Savior, how he is the Deliverer. So when we're praying, we're not only remembering God's goodness, who he is, that he is good, but we're also remembering what he's done, our deliverance, how he's saved us. Salvation that's ours in Christ. Look at verse 6. He saved me. Verse 8. He's delivered my soul from death. Verse 8 again, he saved my eyes from tears. If you want to say it literally, thanksgiving is not only recounts that God has saved, but also why he has saved. He is, how good he is, so mercifully, as the Lord has been good to me. Verses 5 and 7, God is good and he is merciful. And his mercy and his goodness are more than dispositions within him, more than just part of his character. They come to expression in a concrete, specific way in him saving us and delivering us. God's mercy and his goodness is what brings us back from the edge of death when we were the ones entangled and enslaved in sin. We too can experience the goodness and the mercy of the Lord in specific deliverance from specific trouble. And that's the confidence here in this particular situation. It comes from looking at the past when God has heard and answered, knowing who God is, that he is merciful, that he is good, and knowing what he does, that he delivers. When I was overcome, suffering from distress and anguish, I prayed, called on the name of the Lord, and he saved me. And he saved me. Now, how do we respond to that salvation? Well, we respond, first of all, in love. Responding, first of all, in love. And that'll be our second point if you're taking notes on the sermon outline. Responding in love. The Lord's deliverance in this psalm. So you have the remembering who God is and what he does, first of all. But then it's responding. And the Lord's deliverance, the Lord's salvation here causes a response in the one who's saved, in the one who is delivered. And in Psalm 116, that response is expressed in two ways. Two responses are described in this psalm. And the first response is love. You see that right in the first few verses. I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. Now, there's only two times in the Bible where someone says, I love the Lord. It's in this psalm here, Psalm 116, verse 1. And it's also in Psalm 18, verse 1. And there, it's speaking directly to God. I love you, O Lord. And what we see is that this love naturally flows from the heart of someone who's been saved, someone who's been delivered, someone who's experienced verse 15 being precious in the sight of the Lord. So precious that the Lord bent down and listened to the groanings of their prayer. He inclined his ear to me. Verse 2, someone who has a childlike faith, the Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. He listened and he delivered me. Even though there are times in our lives, even though there are moments when we might feel like there's a great distance between us and God, while we're going through the trials, while we're going through those Job moments and we feel completely abandoned by God, even though that might be the case, after we've been delivered, after we've been brought out of that, saved out of it, we're drawn closer and closer to the Lord. We love Him because He loved us enough to save us from our distress. And so this is a psalm of thanksgiving, like I mentioned earlier, not a psalm of lament. It's not prayed while you're in the distress. The psalmist is looking back and praising the Lord, explaining why he loves the Lord, because he heard his cries, he heard his prayer. What's the result here of him calling on the name of the Lord? Verse 4. The result is deliverance. The result is salvation. Other passages pick up that same theme of calling on the name of the Lord and experiencing salvation. Joel 2, verse 31. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Romans 10, verse 13. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So here you have the fullness of deliverance being described. It's a total and a complete, all-encompassing salvation. What is asked for? What is the prayer? Lord, save me. Lord, deliver my soul. And what is received? How is that prayer answered? Verse 6, He saved me. Verse 8, He delivered my soul from death. He pulled me out from death. Verse 13, the cup of salvation. Yeshua is the Hebrew word there. Verse 16, You have freed me. You've released me. You've opened the door so that I could get out. In this psalm, we have five different words getting at the deliverance that's experienced, the deliverance that we have experienced, the fullness of salvation. God answering our cries for help. God answering our prayers for mercy and deliverance. And when we've experienced that salvation, when we have been delivered, the natural question that we ask is the same question that the psalmist asks. What can I offer to the Lord? What can I render to the Lord for all that He has done for me, for all His benefits to me? The Lord's deliverance causes a response in the one who's been delivered. And there's various ways to respond. We're looking at how we're responding in love. I love the Lord, for He has heard my voice. He's heard my cry for mercy. He's turned His ear to me. We love Him because He loved us enough to deliver us and save us. And so in the face of trouble, when we're going through times of distress and anguish, we have this example of turning to the Lord in prayer, crying out for His mercy. In this psalm, you see both the asking, if you're thinking about prayer and thinking about the parts of prayer, we often talk about acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Well, we see two parts of that, of prayer expressed here. Asking God for the blessing and the things we need, spirit and body, and then thanking Him. So asking Him and thanking Him in prayer for the things that He's given. Here, the psalmist is asking God for deliverance, and then he's turning and thanking God for the deliverance. He's looking back and thanking God for answering his prayer. And I would say that would be the part of prayer that we often overlook, or probably overlook the most. When times are hard, when we're going through difficulties and sufferings, we are quick to turn to the Lord in prayer with our requests. Lord, heal me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, make this quit. Lord, get me through this. But once we do get through, we need to remember to turn back and thank Him. Thank you, Lord, for answering my prayer, for delivering me, for getting me through this. Then I called on the Lord and he saved me. Verse 4. It's calling on the name of the Lord, asking him to save him, and then calling on the name of the Lord because God hears and answers our prayers. Verse 17. Then I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. So what's going on here? First, you have the psalmist in his pain and his misery turning to the Lord with his prayer requests. And by the time you get to 17, he's returning to the Lord, calling on the name of the Lord, but this time with thanksgiving. He's remembering his prayer request, what he asked God for, what he had petitioned God for, deliverance, mercy. And now he's praying again. But this time it's thanksgiving because God has answered his prayer. Calling on the name of the Lord because he heard and he answered our prayers. That's why we pray. Now, as we think about that this evening, how has God answered our prayers? When you look back, when you reflect back over the months, over the years, we see how the Lord has answered our prayers. We can think about our prayer requests, the things we brought before the Lord in prayer. And he's answered them, not always in the way that we had in mind. And sometimes the answer to our prayer is no or not yet. But it's so easy for us to forget the things that we've prayed for and how they've been answered. Life goes on, it gets busy, new concerns arise. But when we take the time to look back, we see how the Lord has answered our prayers. And what this does is encourage us in our thankfulness. It encourages us in our love, and it encourages us in our praise. Boys and girls, why should we pray? Well, we pray because we're thankful. Well, what are we thankful for? We're thankful that God saved us. We were stuck in the prison of sin and God set us free. And when we think about what God has done for us, we're thankful. And we respond by loving God. I love the Lord, the psalmist says. And we also respond. The second way to respond is by praising him. We pray because we're remembering God's goodness, who he is and what he's done. Who he is, his goodness, and what he's done, his deliverance. We respond to that in love. And third and finally, we are responding in praise. We pray because we're responding in praise. Praising God for our salvation. I will praise the Lord's name for saving me. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. That's what verse 13 explains. Now the answer to the question that verse 12 asks, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? The answer to that question is prayer. Calling on the name of the Lord, praying to the Lord. These two things, the trouble he faced and the experience of deliverance, are the reason for him calling on the name of the Lord, asking the Lord, and thanking the Lord. Why do we call on the name of the Lord? Because we've experienced deliverance and salvation from the cords of death and the anguish and the distress that entangled us, the grave. And it's a thank offering that we render to the Lord for all of his goodness to us. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give his grace and his Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank him for them. Asking and thanking. In the Old Covenant, Old Testament, the song of thanksgiving, the psalm of thanksgiving, would have been accompanied by a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So you can think of someone coming to the temple, they're singing Psalm 116, and along with that song comes the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And you see that reflected in verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. So he's singing the psalm, praying to the Lord, offering the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now in the New Covenant, New Testament, after Christ has offered himself as the ultimate once for all sacrifice, we show our thanksgiving, we show our thanks to God by offering ourselves as living sacrifices, like Romans 12 explains. Our prayers are part of this response of thankfulness, not only asking God for what we need, but also thanking him for what we have, thanking him for answering our prayers and our requests. A life of loving praise and thankfulness is not too much to ask of those who have experienced the deliverance being described in this psalm. The deliverance, the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. Romans 12, verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. When it comes to our living as Christians, living in light of the salvation we have in Jesus Christ, the first and most important part of that life, of that thankfulness that God requires of us, is prayer. Our prayers are the result, the fruit of the salvation that we have experienced in God because of who he is and what he's done for us in Christ. The writer of this psalm calls on the name of the Lord when he's facing trouble. Then he expresses God's deliverance. And what is his response? He bursts out into this prayer of thanksgiving, calling on the name of the Lord as a sacrifice of thanks, verse 17. And this really paints the bigger picture for us when it comes to prayer. And our own prayer lives as well. Don't make the excuse, I'm not good at praying, or I don't know what to pray for. The solution isn't so much for us to focus on prayer in and of itself, but rather to focus more on reminding yourself once again of what God has done for you, who God is, and what he's done, what he's delivered you from, what he saved you from, what he set you free from. And the fruit of that is going to be this outburst of thanksgiving, calling on the name of the Lord, praising God for the great things that he's done. Well, I'm not that good at praying. Well, don't focus on your prayer. Focus on the Lord and what he's done in your life. And like this psalm, the response will be this prayer of thanksgiving for all of God's goodness to you. Remembering who he is and what he's done. And responding to him in love and praise. This is why we pray. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we love you because you've heard our voice. You've heard us when we cried out to you for mercy. You listened, and because of that, we call on you as long as we live. When we were going through a very dark time, O Lord, it felt like we were dying. We were overcome by difficulties. We were going through difficulties in life and overcome by sorrow. And we called out, Lord, get me through this. Lord, deliver me. And you did. You are gracious and compassionate. You protected us. And when we were in need, you saved us. You delivered our soul from death. And our eyes are no longer filled with tears. We're no longer stumbling our way through life because you're walking with us. And we have life and hope in you. Lord, how can we repay you for all of your goodness? We will pray. We will continue to call on your name as long as we live. Our lives will be living sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving to you, calling on your name, loving you, and praising you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.